So we've been around. We started doing our research back in 2014 through 2015 with the help of the Pentagon, and the Harvard School of Business gave us some great data mining opportunities to discover what we felt were the most unique challenges that military members and their families faced, because we wanted to focus on really our mission is healing invisible wounds. There are so many great organizations out there that are helping veterans and military families and warriors, you know, that are active duty as well, which is fantastic. We wanted to find there was a gap that we felt in that area that dealt with the soul care of the individual, of the warrior, things that led to acute PTSD issues, TBI issues related to moral injury, issues that maybe would have some effect on family relationships, ultimately potentially even suicide. So hopelessness and those kinds of things. So we really wanted to focus down on that. And so we did our research. We discovered what we felt was it a great empirical study. The Pentagon helped us to get this out there back in early 2015. We got tremendous response back and discovered what we feel are the top 12 issues that military members and their families face. Number one, by the way, was isolation, not PTSD. PTSD ranked number 10 in the list. So we were kind of surprised by that, actually. Just interesting. So isolation, insignificance, deep loss, fear, family brokenness were the top five.
Wow. I guess I wouldn't also have thought that PTSD was number 10 out of all of those. Okay, interesting. So you've been around since 16 then, was it?
Yeah, we publicly launched in 16, and that's when our public persona engaged. And it was interesting because we'd hoped that we could reach potentially maybe 200 to 300 people in a month. That was our hope, is that we would have that kind of capacity. After 6 weeks of launching, we went to 300 people a day. And currently now we're reaching about 1,200 people daily, about 30,000 a month plus. So it's way surpassed our anticipated need. And so it just, I think, speaks to the great need that individuals, warriors, as well as warrior families and veterans have to be able to connect. And I can talk about how it really works if that's helpful.
Yes, please get into kind of the higher level, 30,000 foot level nuts and bolts of how you're able to connect with these folks that are in need.
Yeah, so several different ways of onboarding these individuals. We have a very robust website. We call it our online interactive community. That's really not a website, because we have articles, video testimonials, and every page that deals with. In fact, we built the website around these issues that we discovered through our research, and kind of focusing down on finding answers and practical solutions, and then telling stories on how people practically work through those things, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, giving a well-rounded, holistic approach to those stories. And so that has been really key. So that particular area has been great. We buy Google AdWords. So when guys are searching online, they're going to find our ad, "Hey, find hope for your journey," specific to their search. So that's been one way that we onboard. About 20% of our folks come to the website based on that. Another way that we onboard is we actually get in front of military members, active duty, as well as veterans, whether it's through the VFW, American Legion, other partner organizations, civic events, churches. I mean, you name it. We have all these opportunities, and those face-to-face events typically yield quite a bit of onboarding. So what we do is, when we get someone to come on board, we felt and we know that the number one thing is to deal with, we take two approaches: to work through prevention issues, if we can provide some level of prevention that deal with acute problems with these issues that we named earlier, or intervention, if there's something already acute that's happening that's led to some type of a crisis, we tackle that as well. So, and to do that, we start with getting them connected to a fellow warrior, someone who has been there where they've been, not a counselor, that may come later, but someone that they could just trust and begin to process what they're going through, through someone who's a brother or a sister of like-mindedness, same branch, same experience. And we found this has been such a key component that has opened up a trusted conversation. It's been amazing.
You know, I met Kevin back earlier this year during a House committee hearing here in Jefferson City at the Missouri Capitol. And that's when I found out about the Warrior's Journey and the amazing things that you're doing there. You talked about the secret sauce in your mission is your battle buddy system.
Yeah, it really is.
These warrior connectors, if you will. You know, there are these these battle buddies out there in other organizations that exist. But you've got this formula that really seems to work, and these other organizations have formulas that also work as well.
Sure.
I was so astounded when you talked at this hearing. You had said your organization has helped 1,300 people, suicidal people. Not one has died by suicide. That is significant.
It's been amazing. Yeah, that number has now surpassed 1,500 since that hearing, Elisa, and we still are at a 100% success rate so far. I mean, we don't know how long that'll last, but we've been engaging. I think the key component again is, you know, everybody really wants a sense of belonging. They want to be loved. They want to find purpose and value. And we find that those are the four major pillars of crisis with these individuals, warriors who have maybe been exposed to war trauma, or those who have just been exposed to military life in general, that requires such sacrifice, you know, that causes such pain within the framework of the family, or challenge, probably challenge is the right word. I won't say pain. It's not always painful. It's just, it becomes painful when they can't deal with the challenge. But as we engage with these individuals, that relationship, trusted relationship, becomes such a powerful tool because, hey, I'm not alone. They realize, okay, here's someone who really understands me. They get it because they've been there, and they're telling me, hey, brother, I've been there, done that. Guess what? I got through it, and I'm getting through it. And man, I'm getting through it not on a coping way or a coping mechanism, but in a way that actually I'm thriving. And I found ways to literally get through what I felt like I couldn't overcome. I've been able to get through. And so those engagements have been so key. Now, that doesn't mean we leave it there. As we triage the situation, then we give opportunity for all kinds of different further services and products and resources that we can give to them at no cost to them through our partnerships with other organizations, as well as services and products that we produce ourselves. So it goes much deeper as we get into it, if that makes sense.
How many warrior connectors do you have within your organization? And does that number, does it just keep growing? Because, you know, you have more and more veterans that cycle out. So
yes.
Of the U.S. military. So I'm curious if that keeps changing.
Yeah, we add about 4 or 5 new warrior connectors every day, people who volunteer that we vet, and we have a pretty long application process. There is a training cycle that they go through. It's simple. In fact, if there's a veteran listening and you'd like to say, oh, man, I'd like to be a part of that, you know, it's really not that difficult to do, but we do want to make sure that we're all on the same page and we focus, because we don't offer behavioral health services directly. We refer to behavioral health because we're not counselors, we're not licensed. You know, we're here to offer a shoulder, you know, to lean on, a friend. You know, it's that initial deal. So we're very careful about that, because we don't in any way want to allude to the fact that we're somehow doing counseling services. That's not really it at all. In fact, most of these guys don't really want that in the beginning. We try to help them if we feel like they need it. We try to help convince them, hey, you really ought to talk to a professional, because we're talking about stuff now that we can lead you only so far. But you know, someone that we trust, that we've vetted, might be a really help to you. And that gets them open to that. So to answer your question, we have about 160 right now warrior connectors. And that, like I said, that's growing every day. We've had over 44,000 conversations since 2016 with individuals. Currently, we have a case management load of a little over 15,000 people that we're currently working with in some capacity, either on a referral basis, ongoing one-on-one, ongoing services. Some of them are pretty simple. Some of them are more involved. It just depends on the person. We don't take a cookie cutter approach. We don't really have a set program. That program is totally dictated by the needs of that person when they come to us. So we take a very individualistic, customizable approach to each person. And it's not just to the military member or the veteran, but their family members as well. Because about half of what we do is working with families.
Well, you answered my next question then. Great. Kevin.
Sorry.
That's great. Kevin Weaver, the president and CEO of The Warrior's Journey, joining Show Me Today. I'm Elisa Nelson. The organization is based in Springfield, Missouri, but it works nationally, internationally to help U.S. military veterans. So it sounds a little to me like what a wingman would be in the U.S. Air Force. But mm-hmm. Outside of the military realm, when you're done with the military. Talk to me about if people want to become a warrior connector, or they think that their loved one, or if they themselves think that the warrior's journey could help. Tell me a little bit about how they should get in contact with the organization.
Sure. I'll give you three different ways that you could get in contact with us. The simplest way is on our website. You go to any of our pages on the website, we have that big giant red button that says Let's Talk. And you can click on that button and you fill out a very short form, and it gives you an opportunity to share what it is you need and who needs it. Maybe it's not for you, maybe it's for someone else. Absolutely. You fill that out, tell us what's going on, submit it, and within minutes, we're going to be responding to you and engaging with you. Now, if it's an acute issue, it's within seconds. You know, sometimes we do get suicidal type of ideation requests on that. Of course, we respond to those within seconds. We have a system that alerts us to those acute areas. So that's one way, is to do it through our website. Another way to do it would be to simply send us an email, info@twj.org. Anybody who would like to use that email address, that's all of our staff and those engagement or engagers of you with those connectors, they see that email. And so we can engage that way. Or if you want to call us on the phone, you can do that as well. And I'm happy to give that phone number, 417-567-4800. And you can call our office. Now, if it's past office hours, obviously, the better way is to get in touch with us through the digital means, because that's 24/7. Our digital works 24/7. So happy to engage and on road and on ramp, or sometimes it's even through events. Like yesterday, I was at an event and I spoke at a group of about 3,000 people in a community in just outside of Huntsville, Alabama. And literally after that 7-minute presentation, I had 40 individuals that I talked to for over an hour. That we were engaging, and three of those folks were actually now bringing them on our case management system. We're going to help them deal with some VA. Most of them were with VA benefits, so which we do at VA benefit advocacy. So that's one thing that we offer as a service. It's really great.
I'm trying to visualize how you can manage all of these folks that need help with your 160 warrior connectors. And I realize it's larger than that, but
it is. Because here's what I didn't mention, Lisa, is that we have 70 other partner organizations that when we get to a point where we're at our max, what we've been able to offer here, or we know that there's something more we can add that we can't offer directly. But if we can connect with this organization over here who does, service dogs, or we have an organization over here that does equine therapy, or maybe a behavioral health issue is, and, we have Banyan as one of our partners. They are tremendous in their ability to, we love those guys because they're huge in the way that they can help people with the behavioral health side. They have telehealth services, they have inpatient, outpatient services, and we have an arrangement with them, and we work with the VA that we make sure that even those services are at no cost to the service member or veteran or their family. So it's we've worked really hard to build that partner network. And so we kind of become this hub that we can then go with. And we don't just hand them off and say, hey, here's a number, call them, we can't help you, see you later. It's not like that at all. It's, hey, we have a partner. We're going to go with you. Let's check this out. What do you think? And we'll go with you. We'll be with you. When they go through that process, when they're finished, we'll say, okay, now what's next? What else can we talk about? What else do we need to cover here? So we do it in a relational fashion.
Why did you want to go here? Why did you want to even think about trying to start an organization like this? What was there something that inspired you specifically? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, thank you. That is a fantastic question, Alisa, and one that we don't often get asked, and I really appreciate it. And I think there is a sense of impetus and motivation behind it. I myself am a veteran. I was active duty 82 through 87, so it was a time in our nation's history where, although there were things happening outside that maybe many people didn't know about, it wasn't anything like the post 9/11 era where we're involved with that global war on terror, became much more intense. So I did have some, I was exposed to some, I was a combat arms guy in the Air Force. I worked security forces, and we did have a few things, nothing like what our guys today, but with a little bit that I was exposed to areas of the challenge that comes with military life, we begin to realize that these organizations that are doing such great work with, helping guys overcome physical inabilities because of their prosthetic needs or because they lost a limb in battle, or building homes, for guys that have had catastrophic injuries, or dealing with like the Tunnels to Towers, group, which is a fantastic organization, or Folds of Honor, another fantastic organization helping with scholarships, all these great things. We love all that. And we say, yes, yes, yes. We're not saying no, no, no. But what we found was that there wasn't anything addressing the heart and soul of an individual when it came to the areas of hope, and that came to the areas of maybe ongoing purpose and value to their future, helping them to find maybe something very specific where an organization could work, come alongside. So that's what was an impetus. And I'll tell you that I have two boys that are serving. I have one son who's now been in an active duty position for 10 years in the Army. He's a Green Beret. Prior to that, he was an Army Ranger. He has 7 combat deployments. So we as a family are getting this. My second son is getting ready to be involved in a battalion that's going on his, it'll be a second combat deployment. So it's, we're exposed to this as a family. So we're watching this happen. And so all that culminating going, wow, and watching that suicide rate just not change. We're like, okay, we got to do something. There's got to be an answer here to this. And honestly, Elisa, we feel like we're just beginning to scratch the surface. We feel like we're making an impact, but the impact, if my metaphor is, maybe you've heard that story of the guy who's throwing the sand dollars back in the ocean when there's thousands of them on the beach and they're all going to die. And he's out there throwing one at a time. And the guy says, what are you doing? You can't save them all. And he says, I know, but I can save this one, and that's kind of where we feel we are now. And we want to be able to scale out where we can become much more impactful at a broader scale. And that's our goal in the next 2 to 5 years, is to become much more scaled up, because the need is huge.
All right. Kevin Weaver with The Warrior's Journey. This is Show Me Today, the Voice of Missouri.